Yeah, it's just good to have all this good stuff again. Psalm 139, because we were talking this morning, Matt was talking about being face to face with God and not being frightened just to stand before him and just say, here I am, God, and I want more of you. I want to be face to face, intimate with you. Like when Jesus had the encounter with the woman at the well, which we did about this morning, if you weren't here. So it'd be good to listen to that again. But here it says, it's a psalm about intimacy. So let's enjoy this and remember it again. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge, it's too wonderful for me. It's too lofty to attain. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they'd outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Yeah, so we're talking a little bit, Sally, is about anxious thoughts, about fear. And I thought, unless we're really honest with God, we're never going to really get anywhere. Unless we really come to him face to face, whether that's in the privacy of our own quiet times with God, or sometimes for the braver ones, it's just getting together in fellowship like tonight. And I think we'll have a little bit of time of being able to share with one another. So I just encourage you to be as real as you feel comfortable to be with everyone, because that encourages everyone else and that helps us to be real with God as well. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want a smiley mask for church. He wants our hearts. So we're just going to sing this lovely song, Here I Am, Wholly Available. And let's really just mean those words tonight. Let's be really available to God, to listen from him for what Sally brings and for when we have a time of sharing and prayer later on.
I remember last time that I shared at the evening service, Matt Hepditch said a very interesting thing when we were talking about it afterwards. I think it was afterwards. And he said, normally the first time you preach, you know, it all goes kind of well and it's good and everything. And the second time is normally awful. So I thanks for the encouragement, Matt, and I apologise now. Right, I'd just like to pray before I start. Lord Jesus, we come before you now and acknowledge that you are the Lord of our lives. And although we're all at different stages in our walk with you, every one of us has part of our lives that maybe we haven't fully given to you. Maybe we feel we don't quite trust you enough with certain areas of our innermost thoughts. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that this evening you will speak to us, that you will help us to know that you love us far beyond we can ever imagine or know. And I pray that if we struggle with that, that Lord, this evening you will help us to really get a hold of that, that it would transform our lives, that you'd help us to be strong and brave and courageous for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, I just want you to think for a few moments about the things that make you fearful, the things that might intimidate you. So just for a few seconds, just think of one thing that maybe you know is something that always perhaps fills you with fear. And I'm sure if we went around the room now and asked each one of us to say what that fear was, that for each of us it would be very different. And I know for me there are certain things that make me fearful. And one of those things is particularly around finances. Jean-Phi will testify to the fact that I can sometimes get a little bit stressed about money, and that is just one of those things that I worry about quite a lot. And another thing is things that kind of draw attention to myself. So something like tonight is not really on my sort of bucket list of, 100 things I want to do before I die. But I'm being brave and I'm stepping out for God. And I know with conversations that I've had before with Laura that it is on her bucket list, isn't it, Laura? So whoever is organising the preachers, sign her up. Thank you. As I said, I'm beginning to take bigger steps of faith for God, because I know that when I do that, that he shows up and that he helps help us to do those things that we perhaps find difficult, the things that we don't really have the courage to do. And I'm really beginning to think that there's something in that verse from Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And it's not about ourselves, is it? It's about God. When we step out for God, that he is the one that is able to help us to do these things. So as Neil said, my main verse for tonight is from 2 Timothy. And it's chapter 1, and focusing really on verse 7. So verse 7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And I know in some translations it says sound mind. So I know that there, in my Christian life, there's been various times when I've come back to this verse in 2 Timothy, because I've kind of almost read it and tried to repeat it almost like a mantra, because I've wanted it to be true in my own life. And most of the time, I've felt the complete opposite, perhaps, to what this verse actually says. And, I sort of remember in sort of the early years of being a Christian, perhaps when I was younger, of feeling sort of quite self-conscious, very timid, fearful of what might happen, fearful of people, and feeling sort of quite awkward. And I would have to say that that felt kind of stronger in a church context than it did in other areas of my life. And that's probably more to do with me rather than church. But then a couple of years ago, things started to change. And God showed me just how much he loved me. And that triggered a real change in my thoughts, in my attitude, how I viewed myself. And knowing that what my worth to God was, that made me more confident. And that confidence in that time has began to kind of spill out into other areas of my life. And I'm aware, that things are changing. I'm aware that I feel different now to how perhaps I felt a few years ago. And as I say, it's not a confidence based upon myself, because I think I'm great or that I have these wonderful abilities. It's nothing to do with that at all. But the confidence that I have comes as a result of knowing who I am in Christ. And it's that has made a real difference to me. And I really, really passionately believe that this is key for all of us to really get a hold of, that if we can really understand and know and experience the love that God has for us, that it truly is life transforming. I know Matt H. kind of said about that this morning in what he was talking about, and he talked about, really sort of knowing God's love and how that makes a real difference to us. And it's so, so true. So around this sort of time, I felt that God was challenging me to be braver for him. And there was a song that I listened to over and over again. And some of you might know it. It's a song called You Make Me Brave. And it's by a lady called Amanda Cook. I think she's part of the, she definitely is part of the Bethel thing. And so, you know, I would listen to that song so often because it was just everything I felt God was saying to me at that time. And I went along to this woman's conference, and a couple of the other ladies came along with me as well. And the whole sort of theme of this weekend was about let courage be your anthem. And it was a fantastic weekend when, you know, we had some really good teaching about being sort of courageous women for God. And that kind of really fired me up to step out a bit more. And so in this verse in 2 Timothy, just going back to this verse, we can see Paul, the apostle, and he's in prison and he's writing this letter to Timothy, who's a brother, a son in the faith. And he's encouraging him to be brave and courageous. So just going back to Timothy, just starting to read from verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So he's reminding him of the gifts that he has and not to allow fear to kind of bury those gifts. And I'm wondering whether, you know, that might sound familiar, because I know it is for me. Do we allow the gifts that God has given us sometimes to be buried because of fear? You know, maybe we're aware that in various times God has given us perhaps a word for someone, and we just haven't felt quite confident, brave enough to go up to that person and to give that word. I know, you know, that's happened to me, and I've kicked myself afterwards when, you know, it's kind of transpired that that was right and I should have done it and I didn't. Or maybe we feel fearful about talking about our love for Jesus in case we end up looking, you know, a bit like a freak. And of course, fear isn't always a bad thing. In house group this autumn, we've been looking at Proverbs. And one of the main messages in Proverbs is that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So fear in itself isn't necessarily wrong, but it's allowing the fears that we might have to immobilize us and to actually stop us from doing things. And I've written here that our faith needs to be bigger than our fears. And it was Nelson Mandela that said, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man or woman is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. And in the New Testament, we can see the story of Peter as a great example of these particular verses in Timothy. And we all know the life of Peter, don't we? We follow him through the New Testament. And he's a great character, and I think one that probably inspires us in many ways. And so Peter, we have this, you know, disciple who's seen as being sort of very impetuous and prone to sort of say silly things. He starts to sink into the water, doesn't he? And he allows that fear to kind of get a grip rather than looking to Jesus. And then he denies Jesus 3 times for fear of what the repercussions of that might be. Yet in Acts 4, verse 8, when he's brought before the religious bigwigs of that time, we can read this. If you just want, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it. So it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty big transformation to me when you look at the life of Peter, some of the mistakes he made, and yet he went on. And if you read further through that verse, you can see this kind of wonderful, powerful and eloquent sort of speech that he gives. And the story of Peter really does kind of fill me with hope, because, you know, when the Spirit of God works in us, he can do powerful things through us. So I'm just wondering kind of how we live out these verses in 2 Timothy more and more. And it's not something that I've obviously got sewn up. I do still get quite fearful about certain things, and there are things that maybe God is wanting me to do that I kind of shy away from because I probably don't quite feel courageous enough. But I think there are three kind of key things really that I think about that would help us to really take hold of this verse and to allow it to transform our lives. And I think, first of all, as I said before, we need to know and understand and experience the depth of God's love for us. Because when we're secure in that, we can be more secure in ourselves. And secondly, we need to allow our faith to grow bigger than our fears. We need to look up and not look down. And then thirdly, we need to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's power and allow him to work through us. As we see, you know, in Peter, the transformation probably took place, you know, around the time of sort of Pentecost, you know, when they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm guessing that, you know, for him, that was the time that God really took a hold of him and did something different in his life. I kind of knew that tonight wasn't going to be very long, and it's not. So my kind of final thoughts are from Deuteronomy 11 and starting at verse 18. And this is what it says. It says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Stick them to your fridges so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land." Now you may wonder why I've added that little bit. And I've lost it. Where's it gone? Anyway. I kind of thought how important it is that we kind of recall God's word, isn't it? You know, throughout the day, that we think about what God's word says, because it's that can, you know, if we allow God's word to be a part of us and that we become familiar with it, it can really change us. So what I've done, I've made these fridge magnets. And so it's got the verse from 2 Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love and self-control." And so I just think, you know, if we can put these verses on our fridges, and every morning, you know, when we go and we open the fridge, we get the bottle of milk out for our cereals or whatever, our cup of tea, coffee, that we can look at this verse and just allow it to become part of us. And hopefully, you know, that God will help us to deal with some of those fears in our lives, those things that we struggle with. So I'm going to give these out. And what we're going to do next, I thought it would be really good to perhaps spend some time around our tables to perhaps just discuss together some of those things that make us fearful. Then, you know, there might be specific things that kind of always seem to crop up in our lives. And we're just going to maybe talk about those things and spend some time praying for one another. So, Fee, if you could give out those magnets. I think I was a little bit optimistic at how many people would be here. Okay, so we'll just spend some time just talking about those things and then hopefully praying for one another, and then we'll come back together to sing a final couple of songs.